Chairs No Waiting, episode number 491. Why is he always Ernest T? Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you by the folks over at WeaversDepartmentStore.com. Drop by over at Weavers. They got a great Aunt B's apple pie t-shirt. Apple pie, what's more American than that? Well, Aunt B's apple pie, that's right. Head over to there and head over to WeaversDepartmentStore.com and pick you up a t-shirt with Aunt B's apple pie on it. Check it out. Hey, it's 2019 nearly. You can get the 2018 and 19 wall calendar as a special combo deal, or just the 19. It's up to you. Head over to WeaversDepartmentStore.com and check it out. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from people just like you. And this episode is brought to you once again by the folks who attended the Mayberry Meetup in Mount Airy, North Carolina, just a few weeks ago. Hello, everybody. I'm Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting. And it is great to be in Mayberry, getting to talk to you and just tell you some things, give you some ideas, give you notes, whatever you want to call it. But we have got just a little bit to talk about tonight. We're going to do some, we're going to talk about why is he always Ernest T? Now, last week we talked about that a little bit. So there's some deep thinking going on this past week, and we're going to share that with you. All right. So, and then we're going to talk, we'll do a little bit of trivia. Do some trivia, and then we'll hear from Randy Turner. So that's what you got to look forward to. Let's get some background music. There we go. Just low and quiet. Folks, why is his name always Ernest T? That's the question. You remember last week we talked about where did the T in Ernest T come from? Do you remember that? We talked about that on last week's episode. Maybe you didn't hear it, but it basically came from Everett Greenbaum and Jim Fritzell, the writers for the Andy Griffith Show, who actually came up with a name for a show called Mr. Peepers, in which the guy's name was Frank T. Whip. Okay, you remember that. And then when Everett and Jim were coming up with a character name for Howard Morris, for Ernest T, they came up and made sure that his middle initial was T. And they were specifically said it differed in that it attached itself to his first name, which was never used without the T. Or it's always Ernest T. Okay, so why was it always Ernest T? Well, Otis and I were driving to Troy, North Carolina, to an event that was put on just this past weekend. So that's Ken Junkin and myself. And, you know, this was the question that we start talking about. Why is his name Ernest T? They never called him just Ernest Bass or Ernest. You know, I've known people that was Sally Mae or Mary Ann or something like that. I've heard those kind of names. And you never just call him Sally. You never just call him Mary or Ann. It's always Mary Ann. Or, you know, like on Gilligan's Island, Mary Ann. But I've never known anybody that was their name with an initial. You know, it'd be like, my name is actually James Allen. But nobody ever calls me J. Allen or James A. James A. They don't call me that. Now, my mom, when she got mad, she would call me James Allen Newsom. You know, that's when I knew there was trouble. But no, my name was never used in conjunction with my initial. But Ernest T's was. It was always, and specifically, they intended it to be. So we got to thinking about this on our drive, and we thought perhaps here's the answer. Now, you can come up with a better answer if you have one, but this was the answer that Otis and I decided on. Okay, here's our logic, and you guys can either join in and agree with us or not. So it's always Ernest T. Bass. So why would you call somebody always that? What about this? What if Ernest T.'s daddy's name was Ernest S. Bass, and his daddy, Ernest T.'s grandfather, was Ernest R. Bass. And his great-grandfather, Ernest T's great-grandfather, was Ernest Q. Bass. What if that's why? So when you were talking about him, you had to differentiate Ernest T from Ernest S or Ernest R. You know, you remember like Claude Beeman and Plain Claude and Claude. You remember those? There was Plain Claude Beeman, And then there was Claude Jr. and Claude Sr. But there was plain Claude. We had to differentiate them. Because how do you know which one's Claude? If you just say Claude Beeman, well, you don't know which one it is. So perhaps, this is our theory. You can bust my theory. You can take it apart. Whatever you want to do. But Ernest T., his family, we made up a big story because we had about 8 hours of drive time. We made up a good story. Ernest T.'s family, you see, has always been initials. They're initials. So every generation, it was a new initial. So like I said, his great-grandfather was Ernest Q. Bass. Ernest Q. So the next generation had to be Ernest R. And then Ernest T.'s daddy was Ernest S. Ernest S. Bass. And then you got Ernest T. So Ernest T.'s son would therefore have been Ernest U. Ernest U. Bass. Ernest U. And we decided this probably went all the way back if we just kept going backwards throughout history. You know, just go who begot who and who begot this person. Kenneth and I decided that this must have started. At first, we thought maybe in the Garden of Eden. But then we thought, no, it couldn't have been then because there was the flood. And only Noah and his boys are the only ones that made it through. And we know what his boys' names were. And probably I might should know what his grandson's names were, but I don't. So maybe he had a grandson, Noah. Noah's grandson was named Ernest A. Okay, because you know, back in those days, they didn't have last names. It was just Noah. Right? Just Noah. Just Noah. Right? So maybe, you know, they started naming people at some point based on what their occupation was. Because it was like if you made cloth and stuff, you were a weaver, right? So Ben Weaver, his family in the past must have been weavers. They weaved things, right? So we figure Ernest A, he was a fisherman who bass fished. He was a bass fisherman, and so they named him Ernest A. Bass. That's what we figured. I tell you, we had a lot of time on our hands. But I think it's a good story. So let's say Noah's great-grandson was Ernest A. And they eventually, you know, started using last names. So he became Ernest A. Bass because he was a bass fisherman. And that has continued all the way through the generations, all the way up to Ernest T.'s daddy, who was Ernest S. Bass, and right on in to Ernest T. Bass. Boom. We're done. That's our theory. So I think that's the backstory going all the way back through there. So there you go. When you're in a car for 7 hours with another Mayberry fan, these are the kind of things that you can come up with. There you go. You can do it too. Just take a long trip and ride from Alabama to North Carolina a few times, and you too can start coming up with stories like this. Now, if you've got a better idea as to why it was always Ernest T. instead of Ernest Bass, I'd like to hear it. Because if it's better than that one, I'd love to hear it. Because we're actually pretty proud of that. Me and Otis, we thought, you know, I looked at him, told him his education was worth every penny. That's what I told him. All right. So, you know, if you agree, that's great. If you don't, well, let me know what you thought. Okay. I'd like to hear that. All right. So let's do some trivia questions. Get those out of the mind. So that was our Ernest T. Bass theory. So let's go on into some trivia questions. Here's an easy one. I'm just going to read them to you. You ready? These are easy. So you should be able to get them. I want you to feel good about yourself. How are Barney Fife and Andy Taylor related? Oh, my goodness. The chat room people are typing away as we sit here. How are Barney Fife and Andy Taylor related? Oh, they're cousins. That's right. Oh, I should have told you to pause, but I hope you knew that. See, you're feeling good about yourself. Isn't that good? You feel good. I see everybody in the chat room is typing cousins, cousins, cousins. Good job, everybody. How'd you do? Did you get it too? Yeah, I think you probably did. Okay, here's the next one. This one's easy too. What was the name of the telephone operator in Mayberry? It's pretty easy to me. Now, there could be some people that are kind of casual fans might not know this, but I thought this might be a pretty fun one to get started with. Here you go. What was the name of the telephone operator in Mayberry? Just as a little bit of trivia extra, it was also the name of the television, the telephone operator in Hooterville, just so you knew that. Her name, both in Mayberry and in Hooterville on Green Acres and Petticoat Junction, her name was Sarah. That's right. Sarah. Boom. Got it. Folks are happy in the chat room. They're getting things. Sarah, get me my house. I'm seeing that in the chat room. All right. Sure. I hope you got it. All right. So this one's a little harder. You might not get this one. It's a little harder. Okay. What's the name of the girl that Barney liked that always bit off the bottom of his raspberry snow cone, slurped out all the syrup, and then left him with just the ice? What's her name? What's the name of the girl that Barney liked that always bit off the bottom of his raspberry snow cone, sipped out all the syrup, and then left him with just the ice? Folks in the chat room, I think they know it. Some folks can't remember. I'd have had a hard time, to tell you the truth. I might have get it after, or I might have gotten it as soon as somebody told me the name. Okay, so pause if you don't want to hear this. If you're live listening to this, you're just going to have to get it. But the girl's name was Vicky Harms. Good job, folks, there in the chat room. I see them getting it right. Good job, Vicky Harms. Okay, here's another one I think is pretty easy. What's the name of the local newspaper there in Mayberry? What's the name of the paper? Boom, boom, boom. What is the name of the paper, the newspaper in Mayberry? What's the name of the paper in Newsmary? in Newsmary. What is the name of the newspaper in Mayberry? All right, so you can pause if you don't want to hear the answer yet. If you want to think about it, you just can't think of it. Your mind's blank. You just can't believe it. So pause, but here's the answer. The Mayberry Gazette. Again, folks in the chat room, good job. I see you. See them chatting away in here. They're popping it up. And I think I could put the chat room up on the live show. Let's see here. Boom, there they are. They're getting it. All right, so let's go to the next question. Thelma Lou's cousin comes to visit, and Barney calls her a dog and said he couldn't get a date for her to the annual dance. But Gomer takes her. What's her name? What's Thelma Lou's cousin's name? Oh, they're getting it in the chat room. If you see the video version of this, you already know the answer. Oh, it hurts. But did you get it before they did? Thelma Lou's cousin came to visit, and Barney called her a dog. What was her name, the one that Gomer was taking to the dance? Wouldn't be right for you to go unadorned. All right, so here is the answer. Her name was Mary Grace Gossage. There you go. Good job. Mary Grace Gossage. Next up, number six. Opie shot a mama songbird out of a tree with a slingshot. Opie becomes a bird man and takes over feeding the baby birds. What did Opie name the baby birds? Okay, what did Opie name the baby birds that he raised? What did Opie name them after he shot their mama? There we go. People are just happy in the chat room. They're getting these. A lot of people are. Hopefully you're happy too because you're enjoying this. Yes, I know these. All right. The name of the baby birds. Pause if you don't want to hear the answer. The name of the baby birds are Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod. All right. Number seven. Okay. Number seven. Who escorted the apricot queen around town when she visited Mayberry? It's not a trick. Who escorted the apricot queen around town when she visited Mayberry? I saw an answer that was wrong, or see some wrong ones. I see some right ones in the chat room. So this is a tricky one. It's not who was supposed to escort the apricot queen around town. It was who did escort the apricot queen around town. Oh, remember that? Who eats all the apricots around here anyway? I do. Remember? Okay, the answer is Andy Taylor. Barney's like, I stood on that street corner for, remember? Oh, yeah. Barney was supposed to escort her, but Andy ended up doing it. And Barney was holding a grudge about it. Remember? All right. All right, so here we go. Number 8. Name Opie's girlfriend that he was saving up to buy a coat for. Name Opie's girlfriend that he was saving up to buy a coat for. Okay. Yeah. What was the name of Opie's girlfriend that he couldn't give more than 3 measly cents to the underprivileged children's drive because he was saving up to buy his girlfriend something? All right. Her name, he was saving up to buy his girlfriend Charlotte something. Remember? Yeah. He was saving up 3 cents. All right. So her name was Charlotte. That's who he was doing. Number 9. This one's kind of hard. This one's hard to me. All right. You ready? What is the name of Opie's second grade teacher? What is the name of Opie's second grade teacher? Opie's second grade teacher. Okay. This is kind of hard. Ooh. That one's hard. Especially when you're thinking about half a boy. Poor Horatio. All right. So what was the name of Opie's second grade teacher? I see folks in the chat room guessing a bunch of O's and O's and whatnots. All right. Opie's second grade teacher. Pause if you don't hear yet. Was Mrs. Cox. Mrs. Cox. It was not Helen Crump. Good try, everybody, trying that one. She was his teacher for a long time. All right, number 10. What's the name of the Mayberry citizen who was run over by a taxi cab in Charlottesville? What's the name of the Mayberry citizen supposedly run over by a taxi cab down in Charlottesville? I see some folks getting it. There you go. What was the name of the Mayberry citizen supposedly run over by a taxi cab down in Charlottesville? Okay, I'll give you a hint now. His wife's name was Annabelle, and his name was Tom Silby. There you go, Tom Silby. So that's our 10 questions, folks. 10 Mayberry questions. Oh, there's the phone. That must be time for Randy Turner over at the Gomer and Goober Pile Comic Book Literary Guild. So I hope you did all right in the 10 questions. So let's head over and hear from our roving reporter, Randy Turner.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Goober Pile Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
While Chubby Johnson's appearance in Mayberry as the feuding Mr. Carter may have still appeared gruff, it was actually one of the more clean-shaven roles he ever had. Chubby Johnson, whose real name was Charles, was born on August the 13th, 1903, in Terre Haute, Indiana. Chubby actually worked as a journalist much of his career and did not begin acting until he was 43 years old. Even after he made his debut as an uncredited homesteader in the 1946 Randolph Scott Western Abilene Town, he continued to write newspaper columns and work in the press as a radio announcer. Chubby did not appear again until 4 years later in 1950, when he began to pursue an acting career in earnest with his first credited role in another Western, Rocky Mountain, starring Errol Flynn. It was at this point that he finally left his work as a journalist. Chubby appeared in 14 films between 1950 and 1952, all Westerns. A number of these were entries in a low-budget Rocky Lane series, where Chubby played the sidekick to Cowboys star Alan Lane. This cemented Westerns as the genre he would appear in most often, usually sporting a long, grizzled beard, with a bit of a snaggletoothed mountain man appearance. In 1952, while he continued to work in feature film westerns, he made the jump to television, debuting in the modern-day western series Sky King, where he played the recurring character of ranch foreman Jim Bell. He also appeared in other western series, such as The Lone Ranger. In film, he appeared in westerns such as Calamity Jane and a movie starring Audie Murphy called Gunsmoke, which bore no relation to the radio drama that had begun the year before on the radio with the same title. In 1954, after appearing in 23 western films, Chubby finally appeared in a non-western, The Human Jungle, a film noir crime drama. In A Feud is a Feud, the ninth episode of the new series, The Andy Griffith Show, Chubby played Mr. Carter, the feuding patriarch of the Carter clan, who refused to allow his daughter Hannah to marry Josh Wakefield. After realizing the Carters and Wakefields had been feuding for decades, but that no one had ever been killed, Andy finally convinced the patriarchs of the two clans that a single wedding would be cheaper than a double funeral. Chubby had that same snaggletooth look that he nearly always had in his western roles. And how did he achieve it? He performed the role with his lower dental bridge removed. After appearing in other series, occasionally a non-western such as his Mayberry role, and his three appearances as his second recurring character, Buzz the Salvage Man and Dennis the Menace, Chubby played his third and final recurring character in the western series Temple Houston, the hour-long series about a western frontier lawyer who was the son of the legendary soldier and politician Sam Houston. For the rest of his career, while Chubby occasionally appeared in fare such as Lassie and the science fiction movie Cyborg 2087, he still appeared primarily in westerns. Toward the end of his career, he appeared in series such as The Wild Wild West and Death Valley Days, and films such as Support Your Local Sheriff. Of his hundreds of television roles, Chubby appeared most often in Maverick, where he made eight appearances as different characters between 1957 and 1961, and the same number of appearances in Bonanza between 1962 and 1972. His appearance as a character simply called Old Man in the February 20th, 1972 episode of Bonanza was his last. Chubby passed away on Halloween Day in 1974 at the age of 72 after battling an infection in his leg. Well, that's it for this week. Thanks for listening, and remember to take Andy's advice and go out there and act like somebody.
All right. Thank you, Randy. And if you don't want to miss anything that Randy Turner is doing, head over and send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com. And you won't miss any of his stuff. turnersgrade@gmail.com. And he'll make sure you are notified about everything he is doing. Folks, I hope you've enjoyed this. We had some information, deep thoughts from Floyd and Otis on our trip. So hopefully you enjoyed that. We had some trivia, and then we got some good stuff that I knew nothing about, Chubby. So thank you, Randy, for that. Hey, folks, I hope you've enjoyed yourself. I would love, love, love to hear from you guys. So send me an email at floyd@imayberry.com or drop by and send an send a voicemail, even better. You can send it to 888-684-8415. And I would love to hear from you. It's great to hear from you all the time. So you can head over to twochairsnowaiting.com, click the contact button. All that information's there. And you just however you'd like to talk to me, I'd love to hear from you. Head over to weaversdepartmentstore.com and buy some stuff, because that's nice too. Folks, have a great Mayberry week, and we'll see you next time right here on Two Chairs. Goodbye, everybody.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.